Gospel of Mark, nothing is there by accident. Mark is very intentional about the way his gospel is put together. So we read this morning from chapter 10 of Mark's gospel, verses 46 through 52, which is the last story before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we celebrate on Palm Sunday. It is the last healing miracle of the gospel, and it is the second healing miracle in this section. So there is, in chapter 8, Jesus heals a blind man, and then at the end of chapter 10, Jesus also heals a blind man. This is Mark's way of saying this is important. By putting these bookends here, he's saying, take a look, this is important. So the last healing miracle of the gospel, right before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and finishing up this whole section that's about seeing, about being blind and seeing, Mark is saying, listen, this is really important. So let us listen to this important text this morning. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man. "Be encouraged. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you." And so throwing his coat away, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. May God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word. Dear ones, let's be together in prayer. God, the world won't always be broken. Freedom is coming. Peace is coming. Reconciliation is coming. In your word today, in your worship, in our fellowship, give us a foretaste of you. Faith is a word we hear often in our culture. It's a word we might even use ourselves most days. But a Christian understanding of faith is different than a secular understanding of faith, and different than an understanding of faith from one of the other religious traditions. Faith is not anything from a Christian's perspective, but Christian faith is a particular. Once we say that it's a particular thing, though, we have to define what that particular thing is, which is no easy task. I know if somebody stopped me in an elevator and said, "Quick, you have until the third floor to give me a definition of Christian faith," I would be hard-pressed to give a clear and concise answer. So looking to Scripture for help, we find in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, a nice definition of faith. The writer of Hebrews says that faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of that which you cannot see, which is beautiful and eloquent. But to my ear, it's a way of saying that faith is about believing. It's about believing that which you can't prove, but which you're willing to put your trust and your hope in anyway. So faith is about believing, but I don't think that's all that faith is. Because once we say that Christian faith believes in something, we have to ask what it believes in. Which brings us to the person of Jesus Christ. Because Christians don't just believe that the sun will rise tomorrow, or that there's some faceless energy source in charge of creation. But Christians believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the way in which, and the person in which, God loves us and refuses to let us go. So now we're getting there. Christian faith is about believing, which is something we do with our heads. But it's also about being loved by God and being moved to love God back. which is a function of the heart. So faith is a function of the head and of the heart, but there's something missing, right? We don't have a faith of the hands yet. Which brings us to the letter of James. And in chapter 2 of the letter of James, James says famously that faith without works is dead. In other words, a faith that does nothing is nothing. All of us can believe in some grand theological point about who God is and what Jesus means for the world. All of us can bask in the love of Jesus Christ. But if we believe and bask while our neighbor down the street starves to death, well, then we have a faith that's something other than a Christian faith altogether. So James comes along and tells us that we need a faith of the head and of the heart and of the hands. So what is Christian faith, we ask? Well, I'll give you a concise elevator definition. I worked hard on this week, so I hope this is helpful. Christian faith is believing in the God of love to the point where you become Christ's hands and feet in the world. Christian faith is believing in the God of love to the point where you become Christ's hands and feet in the world. So there's our definition, or a definition. But you know, thinking more about it this week, I realized that Christian faith is not best when it's defined, but when it's observed in the real lives of real people. That way we can see it and say, yeah, right there, that is Christian faith. So I'm grateful this morning for our gospel passage from Mark chapter 10, which is the story of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, who Jesus identifies as having faith. So let's dig a little deeper. Here's how Mark tells the story. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. The final time he'll enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday before his arrest and his crucifixion and his death. He is on that road. And when he's on that road, he goes through a town named Jericho, maybe 15 miles or so north and east of Jerusalem. When he's done there, he starts moving with a large crowd from Jericho to Jerusalem. There's lots of crowds that are probably following Jesus, but also as pilgrims who are making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover that was coming. So this large crowd with Jesus in the middle is moving down the road, and they encounter a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, who finds that Jesus of Nazareth is in the crowds and begins yelling and screaming and carrying on, "Jesus is the Son of David, have mercy on me." So to understand what's going on here, we have to understand that the Son of David is a particular title. It's only used a couple of times in the Gospel of Mark, and so it means something particular. What it means is that Bartimaeus identifies Jesus as being the Messiah, who was thought in Jewish scriptures to come from the line of David. So by saying that Jesus is the Son of David, he is acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the one who would save them, the one they've been waiting so long for. And so he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowds hear that and don't want to bother them, and so they try to get him to shut up. But Bartimaeus doesn't shut up. He continues, he persists, he continues crying, "Son of David, have mercy on me," until Jesus hears him and calls him over. Now the crowd's tune changes, and they say, "Take heart, Bartimaeus, he is calling you, go to him." And so Bartimaeus takes his cloak, and he throws it away. His cloak, his warmth, his protection, his livelihood, probably the most valuable thing that blind Bartimaeus owns, he takes it and he throws it away, and he moves through the parted crowds, and he walks right up to Jesus and looks him in the face. And Jesus says, "What do you ask of me?" And he says, "Jesus, I want to see." So Jesus names his faith and says, "Your faith has healed you." And immediately Bartimaeus could now see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. This is the story of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, as told to us in the Gospel of Mark. Now maybe you're thinking that this is another healing story, Another blind person can now see a story. We've had so many of them in the Gospels. What makes this one so special? Well, it's not that this story is so special. It's that it has something to teach us and to tell us about what Christian faith is and looks like in the lives of real people. So let's dig in a bit deeper this morning and see what Bartimaeus has to teach us. There's five different things that I'd like to highlight for us this morning. Bartimaeus teaches us that Christian faith is a faith of the journey. You see, as is so often the case, Jesus encounters people not in a safe home, not in some temple, not in some palace somewhere, but on the road, between here and there, on a sojourn, in this place that's in between. And so the logic follows for Bartimaeus and for us is that if we want to meet Jesus and the followers of Jesus, we need to be on the road too. We need to be wanderers and sojourners, neither here nor there, but on the way. Christian faith is a faith of the journey. It's not only a faith of the journey, though. Bartimaeus teaches us that it's also a faith of the outsider. You see, Bartimaeus is no insider. It's the insiders, the disciples, the followers, those who are closest to Jesus, who in Mark's gospel over and over again fail to see who Jesus really is. They're sort of knuckleheads, and they just don't quite get it. Now, Bartimaeus, the outsider, well, he's an outsider because he's poor. He's an outsider because he's blind, and in his culture of the day, that meant that his parents had sinned in some way. His blindness was due to his parents' sin. This was the idea. And so he was very much an outsider of his culture and his religion and the economy. He's an outsider. But Bartimaeus can't see anything except the thing that's most important to see and which the insiders could not see, which is that Jesus really is the Son of David, the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for. So this is a hard teaching for us this morning because we're insiders, right? We're inside the church, we're inside the sanctuary, we're inside the tradition with its hymnals and its candles and its doctrines. And Bartimaeus teaches us that it's we who are the least likely to get who Jesus really is. And it's the outsiders who most often have the best vantage point and the greatest clarity about who Jesus is and what he means for our lives. So Bartimaeus teaches us that Christian faith is a faith of the outsider. So it's a faith of the journey and a faith of the outsider, but he also teaches us that it is a faith with fight. See, Bartimaeus, when he starts yelling and screaming that Jesus is there, he doesn't just lay down when the crowds tell him to shut up. He persists. And he goes on, and when the crowds finally part, he marches right up to Jesus, and he looks the Messiah straight in the face, and he asks him for what he really needs and wants. Christian faith is not a passive faith, it's not a shy faith, it's not a silent faith, it's a faith with fight. So it's a faith of the journey, and a faith with fight, and a faith of the outsider. That's another thing too. Christian faith, as Bartimaeus teaches us, is a faith. I had this all down. I had it all memorized here. It is a faith that sees imperfectly, right? So follow me on this one. Bartimaeus calls Jesus the Son of David, and so he was able to see that Jesus was the Messiah. But see, the expectation by Bartimaeus and most Jews of the day is that the Messiah would be a military leader who would come and free the people and save the people through might and military power. But Bartimaeus can see is that Jesus is the Messiah, but he cannot see that Jesus is a strange sort of Messiah, who we will see in just a few chapters, enters into Jerusalem and saves the people through death and the cross. So Bartimaeus didn't see that piece too. Sometimes for Christians, there's this misperception that if we work long enough and hard enough, that if we pray enough and study enough and come to church enough and be the best Christians we can be, that all of life's answers will be answered, or questions will be answered for us. questions about God and about our world and about our lives. The Bartimaeus teaches us that at the end of the day, our faith will see only imperfectly. So our Christian faith is a faith of the journey and a faith of the outsider and a faith of fight and a faith that sees imperfectly. And finally, Bartimaeus teaches us that it is a faith of transformation. It's a faith that refuses to leave us where we are and moves us from where we are to where we can be in Jesus. See, there's this great moment when Bartimaeus is told that Jesus wants him to come over there. He doesn't slowly gather up his things and sort of make sure that he's got his old life together in case Jesus, well, things don't go so well in that encounter. He takes his cloak and he throws it away, his livelihood, his comfort, his protection, his most valuable possession in the whole world, perhaps. He takes it and he throws it and his old life away, not knowing what he will find on the way. Jesus changes him, and his faith moves him to this life-changing encounter. So what is Christian faith, we ask? What is Christian faith, we wonder? And Bartimaeus teaches us in his life and in this encounter that Christian faith is a faith of the journey, of the outsider. It's a faith with fight. It's a faith that sees imperfectly. And it's a faith of transformation. Faith is a word we hear all the time in our culture. It's a word that we ourselves might use most days. But Christian faith and understanding of it is different than a secular understanding, different from an understanding of faith from another tradition. Christian faith is not anything, it's a particular thing. So the next time you're in a coffee shop or an elevator or somebody in your life asks you what Christian faith is, maybe you can give them a concise definition. Maybe you can tell them that Christian faith is loving God to the point where you become Christ's hands and feet. Do that. Second option, maybe a better option, is to study the story of blind Bartimaeus with them and discover together how Christian faith is a faith of the journey and the outsider, a faith of fight, a faith that sees imperfectly, and a faith of transformation. But you know, there's a third way, which is probably the best way. The third way is not to have a concise definition or even to study the Bible together. Maybe the best way to tell somebody what Christian faith is to let your life speak. And so I'll end this morning with this. It is my prayer for each of us and all of us that more and more each day that our lives, your life, will become a definition, will become a Bible study, will become a story, will become a sermon that teaches all who see you just what this Christian faith is. This thing that we are bold enough to claim around here is worth sharing with others. A prayer for all of us is that people will see our lives and in us they'll say, yeah, that is Christian faith. May it be so for our sakes and for the life of God.